It's The Bill Murphy Show, a daily one-on-one 30-minute interview between people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
And this is your digital broadcast for Monday, July 19th, 2010. Brought to you by Lulu's Bait Shack. Fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks and live music. Lulu's in Beach Place on A1A, the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. Well, I'd like to thank Andy Silverman from Player Management Group for hooking me up with the guest for the next couple of days. We were fortunate enough to be on location at the Newport Beachside in beautiful Sunny Isles, Miami Beach, over the weekend to kind of hobnob with some celebrities and athletes, and mostly to help out Daryl Gartner, former Miami Dolphins player, who is the Daryl Gartner Foundation, helping out needy kids. And he's got a lot of support for it. He's been involved in it for a long time and is a hero to many in South Florida and football fans alike, and is just a very charitable guy. So we bring you a recording from this past weekend. This is me interviewing Daryl Gartner, your guest for today's broadcast.
Daryl, thanks for joining me, man. I know your time is valuable.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, before we get into football and everything else, because there's a lot of stuff I want to get into, I've been a part of a couple of events, golf tournaments and charity events that you've been the head man of. Talk a little bit about your charitable work and when did it all start and your foundation.
Oh, it started about 16 years ago when I was at Baylor. Been a part of one golf tournament here. Didn't go the way that I planned for it to go.
No, it rained and it was a long turnout.
You know what? It is what it is. I don't kiss and tell on the first date.
That's
about
right.
That?
Takes a
but
few tries, maybe.
The great thing about it is people are very receptive and really understand the purpose and the mission that we're out and we're really trying to do. It's all about the children. If it's not about the children, it's not with me.
When did that start with you? When was your concern for children and people that are less fortunate than others? Did that start at an early age? When did it hit you that you needed to be a helper?
It started in Lawton, Oklahoma, dealing with a few children. And when I was in my collegiate years in college at Baylor University and with the Miami Dolphins, when I was a spokesman for the Guardian Lighting Program.
And I guess it's just a very rewarding thing. It makes you feel real good to help out kids and people that are less fortunate.
You know what? It doesn't make me feel good. It actually pisses me off. But here's why I say that. I was confronted with an individual, and came up to me and basically looked at me like, you know, Daryl, look, you know, I know who you are. You're the man, whatever. But how long are you going to be around? You know, what they were looking for Santa Claus. And at that particular time, I donated a little bit, but it wasn't what I really wanted to do. These kids need financial responsibility from people that are looking at them the correct way. Out of sight, out of mind is pretty much the focus on things here. But the objective and my initiatives and what I'm trying to do is I want everything that these kids are asking me to be out in the forefront. And I will bust my behind any day of the week, you know, just like football, you know. Hey, I remember what 4th-and-1 felt like and the high that I had, but I don't play football anymore.
Right.
You know, I love the Dolphins. I'm a Dolphin for life, you know what I'm saying? Dolphins, what's up?
We going to get into that.
You know, it's about these children. And these children have real needs, and they need champions to be out there to put in that time. But not only put in the time, put in that work and be consistent. Consistency is all that these kids are looking for. They don't give a damn about anything else.
Right. So talk about your early days. Now, I know we're going to get – there's a few things I want to cover. We want to get into the University of Miami because even though you went to Baylor, you have an affinity to the University of Miami. He's holding up the U right now. Your Miami Dolphins fans are dying to hear what you think about the Dolphins today. We're going to get into all of that. But I also want to get back into your early days. You're a big dude, man. You are an intimidating guy. And I want to make sure I ask the right questions because you could pick me up and throw me out this window right here.
So
I'm going to be a little careful here, man.
All right, come on, hit me with it.
All right. Your early, early days. What was it like growing up in your household? And when did you feel like... Can you remember a day really early that you remembered that you thought to yourself, I want to be a professional athlete?
My parents are the reason for the way that I was, I am, and what I do today. And it's a lot about things. The thing is, always finish what you do. No matter you know, if you're not the perennial athlete or you're not the Donald Trump of your business, finish what you do. That's the plan. You know, with that military background.
What a great message.
Hey, it don't play. But the thing is these children and NFL. It's a lot there. It's a lot of similarities there. The whole initiative is working hard for what I believe in. And I believe in this more than I believed when I was playing with the Dolphins, even though I dedicated my life for the Dolphins. But at 2002, they found a way to get rid of me. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we won't get into all that BS, but we'll say this. You know, two back surgeries, you know, it's a flight risk. So, Kevin O'Neill, holla.
How's your back feel right now?
I tell you what, my back is all right, but, you know, over the last few years, I'm starting to really pay for, you know, what I decided to do in life.
Right. And they say that football players carry on some of these injuries for the rest of their lives, and they feel it, and I guess it's worth it when it all comes down to it,
Every
right?
athlete that comes in the NFL, they're more than just that athlete. I'll tell all athletes, if you have an opportunity, put stock into people. Because at the end of the day, you have to know how to talk and conduct yourself with others, okay? That's your business. If you make, if you're a first round draft pick, that's a whole different story. But if you're not, you better learn how to, because when you get out the league, NFL, the acronym for it means not for long. And I'm gonna tell you something, not for long means not for long.
All right, back to the early days. When you were playing football as a little kid, was there a time, I'm trying to get to that moment in your head where you said to yourself, damn, I'm pretty good at this. I think I want to take this a few steps further.
I played 2 years of football in Lawton, Oklahoma, at Lawton High. Came in from Panama. My father fought into the war of Just Cause in Panama. I played 2 years of football. And then from there, a lot of schools wanted me, had interest in me. University of Miami sent me something.
No Pop Warner football? No football as a little kid?
Come on now. If you got skills, you got skills.
Daryl Gartner speaks, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So we had a little chat earlier by the pool during this amazing party that's surrounding your week of festivities here at the Newport that I just found fascinating. We'll try to recreate it. When you were a player at Baylor, you talked about the intimidation factor that happened when you came to play the University of Miami. Talk a little bit about that. Let's relive that a little bit.
Pound for pound, Baylor, we're the team. Okay, we came down here to play University of Miami. We had University of Miami on the ropes. And due to a forecast of some rain, it rained. We fell in love with it. You know, averaging what? I don't know, like 325 pounds across the board. One of the biggest defensive line in, it might be college history.
Wow.
And
and you were on the defensive line, or were you playing linebacker at the time?
Oh, defensive line.
Okay.
You know, we loved it. Danielle Ferguson couldn't make a yard. But it's so funny. We looked at the rain like, oh, it's going to be a great day. We're going to be successful out here. And then the rain stopped. Humidity kicked in. Sun brought his naked behind out, and our linebackers cramped up. You know, there was something they said.
Are you making excuses now?
I'm not going to make excuses because, as I understand it correctly, I was very successful in that game. But you know what? I might not have been the man that I thought I was, but I tell you what, I was still drafted in the first round. Holla.
But you became a big University of Miami fan at that point, did you not?
I tell you what, one thing about the University of Miami that I always respect, and I'll give them nothing but respect and reverence. Those guys, when they play ball, and they look at each individual as if they were their brother, okay? Now, when they put that death penalty on the University of Miami, I was upset.
Yeah.
Why? Because that was their mystique. My University of Miami had a lot of great national championship teams. Only one national championship team that I could say to myself, whoo, these boys play ball like there was no other. There was a time when I looked at the University of Miami, and I'm like, look, you know what? They can play national NFL. And I'm like, look, they can line up coming to anyone's practice.
You really thought that University of Miami championship team could take on an NFL team?
Yes.
You do.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that don't agree with
Look
you.
Look here, I don't care what no one says. And UM goes through transitions every year, different coaches, whatever. When you win the way they win, when you do what they do, and you listen to them, they live on a whole nother level. And I respect and support it. They do things that are uncanny, but when it comes down to it, man, they make it happen.
Did you ever think about transferring at any point?
I thought about transferring 1,000 times, but I can only tell you what they had to tell me behind closed doors. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation.
Inside stuff that we ain't going to get out of you, no matter how many drinks I buy you today, right?
You know what? What about drinks? You going to buy me some water? You know, water domestic with a twist, okay? You know?
Not enough lemon waters to get you to spill all that stuff
out. I tell you what, the U, I got nothing but respect for.
All right. Miami Dolphins. You played for the Miami Dolphins for how many seasons?
I do believe it was 6 seasons.
Okay. 6 very rewarding seasons. You got a big smile on your face. You're happy to be a Miami Dolphin, and you always talk to the Dolphin fans like you're one of them and everything. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins for the last 10 years or so. They've been through some changes. We had the Nick Saban era that we went through.
Wow.
You know, we had this and that happen to the team. We've got quarterback issues.
What's
your assessment of this Miami Dolphins team?
Look here. We're talking about football. We're talking about X's and O's. There's a lot of Chiefs and no Indians. Okay, everyone thinks they know football 101. They don't know nothing. Okay, every coach thinks they can coach that perennial athlete. Okay, you may get him to buy into your program, but at the end of the day, let's look at statistics. When the Dolphins decided to get rid of Dan Marino, it was still a good defense. It was still a good offense or a productive offense. But ironically, it's when they got rid of me. When was the last time the Dolphins went to the playoffs? And if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't through Saban's era, nor was it through Dan Wonstadt's era. Or Dave Wonstadt. Dan Wonstadt.
Dan Wonstadt.
Oh, man, it's a joke, man.
Boy, now we're getting you to talk up.
Not really.
So on a typical Sunday afternoon.
It's just my own personal.
On a typical Sunday afternoon, you're sitting in front of the TV watching the Dolphins just like any other rabid Dolphin fan, are you?
It hurts.
It hurts?
It hurts.
What do you think they need to do?
What the Dolphins need to do? My personal opinion, my opinion only.
Number one priority right now.
My personal opinion, my opinion only, is the big tuna needs to come out of that skybox and come on down to the field.
You really think so?
I know so. One thing that I will always say, and I will always say this, the big tuna knows how to conduct a team. And he wants championships. He don't care about a playoff. He don't care about a regular Sunday game. He wants playoffs. He wants to win. You know, championships. He wants to win.
You're saying this even after he had his stint with the Cowboys, which was a little disappointing.
Whoa. We're talking about the Cowboys? First of all, think about this. Tuna, Jerry Jones. How long did you think that was going to last?
That's a good point.
I mean, it makes sense of that.
That's a good point.
You know, I'm a player. I saw it. I watched it. I absorbed it. Pain buying him.
So it's not a matter of Tuna not having what he had on the sidelines now. You think he's still capable of doing
Every
it?
Coach wants power. Every coach wants to be a damn GM. If you're a coach, be a coach. If you're a player, be a player. And if you're official, officiate. Okay? That's what you are. But don't overstep your bounds. Do what you have to do. Okay? And to be productive. The whole thing is about consistency. Consistency keeps and always will give you the power that you want. Now, you may not have the Donald Trump job or the GM job, but look at something. We're talking about a productive team. A productive team. As I understand this, New England Patriots. Where's the head coach at? I don't ever remember him trying to go up them stairs.
Right.
Makes sense for that.
Right. A coach belongs on the sidelines.
If he's a coach. So one thing about Jimmy Johnson that I respect about that man can motivate anyone. He can motivate you. Did you ever play down to football?
No.
Probably not, huh? But I bet he can motivate you, and by the time them hairs jump up on your back, you'll be like, yo, I can play right now.
Right.
I believe.
It's almost out of, like, fear.
Fear? Jimmy Johnson didn't impress fear on you. He just gave you facts.
He did.
If you didn't produce, your happy ass was gone.
That's it. Speaking of fear, you're a big dude. You were an even bigger dude when you played in the NFL. Was there anybody in your career along the way that you feared personally? Or I know you carry an air of confidence about you that says there's no fear allowed.
When you got on the field,
did you ever fear anybody?
I think you got that misunderstood. One thing about me, because of my size, because of my stature, my nature, I've always been misunderstood, and that's good. That's great. But that has nothing to do with what I do now. NFL was great. What they did is they gave me a lifestyle that I couldn't have done anywhere else, even with my education at Baylor. Didn't matter. Okay, if I was a doctor, I have a PhD, it doesn't matter. What they gave me is they gave me opportunity. What they did is they gave me that type of time that I needed to reflect on my life. Okay? The whole thing and the whole objective about playing NFL football, with the acronym being not for long, is to get as much money as you can get up front. And when your next contract comes, you put it away. That's the whole deal. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't the draft pick that I wanted to be, but as I watched things and observed things through the years of when I was playing versus what I'm seeing now, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I wasn't ready for what I thought I was ready for.
Okay.
But I tell you what the blessing was, is a guy like Jimmy Johnson believed in me, gave me the opportunity. I didn't want for anything with him. Nothing.
Wow.
There was nothing that I had to ask for. That man took care of me, and that was my coach. But that's it. Now, life after football, I'm not a football player. Yeah, I'm Darryl Gardner, the ex-Miami Dolphin, but who gives a damn? I don't.
Right.
It's all about these kids. That's what I give a damn about.
That's awesome, Al. I can't. You know, commend you enough about the work you do with the kids and the help you do, because someone with a big name like you has the ability to draw people in and help out, and it's awesome that you're turning on Dolphin fans and football fans and Darryl Gardner fans alike into your causes.
You know what? Let me say this. Off the record, on the record, don't
matter. It's on the record.
It's on the record?
Yeah.
Oh, you're slick, boy. Slick.
I'm just getting it right out there, man. Ooh. I don't want to be thrown out the window, brother.
You know what? It's about these children. If they want to be a fan of me, be a fan of these children. And then if you want to support what I do, support it.
Yeah.
But don't come in here in the back door and try to say, yo, Darryl, you the man, whatever. Well, look, I got these kids over here. What you want to do?
Yeah.
Man up.
Hey, Dolphins, just so you know, a little while ago when we were hanging out at the pool, Darryl had a Jets fan come up to him with a Jets hat on. And you know, you treated him just like a Dolphin.
Call it the way it is.
Should treat a Jet.
What did I say?
You didn't give him a respectful handshake. You just kind of fist pumped him, and that's it, right?
Hey, you know what? You got to give him a little pound. He claimed he was a fan of mine, but he represents them Jets. You know, now they got Jason Taylor. He thinks he's a Jets fan. He don't know anything about anything. But yet he was at my event supporting with all the Dolphins and the UM. You know what I'm saying? That's cool.
You find fault with Jason Taylor for taking that and not deciding to stay a Dolphin the rest of his life?
Jason's a businessman. Jason's career has not even taken off yet. He hasn't scratched the surface on his potential. When he danced with the stars, he put himself in position. And if a lot of athletes could ever watch someone that is a role model, he's a role model to them, because he's letting the athletes know that, look, you can do other things than just football. Football, as I said to you, the acronym for it is not for long.
Right.
If you can dance, dance. If you can sing, sing. If you can rap, rap. Do what you do. Use NFL football for what they're using you for.
Right.
You don't even own your name. They're a nonprofit. They protect their own selves. And at the end of the day, when you have something, you think they care about you? Man, please.
Biggest corporation in the country, from what I understand.
Woo, I tell you what, they're snaky.
Now, we also had another conversation earlier about, I want to touch on again because I thought it was fascinating. There's a big difference between being a collegiate football star and then taking that and translating it into the NFL world. Why is it that so many times we see collegiate stars not make it to the NFL or make it to the NFL and fail miserably? What's the difference? What's the main dynamic there that people have to deal with to stay a big athletic star once they get to the NFL compared to college?
I don't even know how to answer that.
You don't? You did before.
I'm for the athletes. I'm for the athletes.
Okay.
You know.
Well, I'm not asking you to talk bad about athletes. I'm just asking.
Why would
you,
I talk bad about athletes?
What would it take? What is it that players have to rise above when they go from college to NFL to maintain that status that they need to stay?
What are NFL or collegiate ones that make it to the NFL have to rise above.
What's the difference
between politics? The politics of the game.
Okay.
You can play defensive lineman, offensive lineman, quarterback, whatever. When they love who they love, they love who they love. But a real sports fan, and listen to me, I'm telling you first, grab the tapes, rewind them, get end zone copies, and you tell me if your star is exactly what you think he is. Because if you're supposed to stay outside, you go inside. Or if you're supposed to be this way or that way. I wasn't a great NFL athlete. But what I did is I made the type of plays that I needed to do to get me to the point and where I'm at now.
You had specific roles that you needed to do.
Well, if you don't, you get cut. But if you're productive, you stay up.
When
right, wrong, or indifferent.
Let's use you as an example.
When you came, let's use you as an example.
I ain't a football player.
You're the voice. You're the voice of the Panthers.
All right, seriously.
You're the man. And seriously?
You're avoiding this question?
You know what? Here's a better question. You're the voice. Do you have that narcissistic tendency of jumping on a jugular when you go out and give your voice over?
No.
Stop lying. I'll prove it to you right now. I'll go into my room and go grab a clip that you said, and it sounds like someone is a little bit cocky. What is the word cocky? More?
Okay, cocky's a good word, yeah.
A narcissistic.
All right. Borderline narcissistic.
All right, that's a yes.
Who's interviewing who now?
I'm sorry. As I understand
this. That's fine with me.
I'm no longer an athlete. I just have grievances that I put out on here. You know. We call a spade all day long.
There's a degree of cockiness, narcissism, whatever you want to call it.
Is it the facts?
Put you on top of your game.
Is it the facts?
You're talking factual.
All right.
I can't argue with that.
All right. Hey, look. Look at these eyes. I got brown eyes, but hey, you know what? Hey, look. Hey. It's an interview.
Could you play football today? NFL football today?
Could I?
Physically.
Physically?
If somebody came to you and said, Darryl, we want you to come out of retirement. We want you to play middle linebacker for us. You think you'd be capable of doing it?
No.
No.
No. I want to. The mind, it's already gone.
You miss it?
The body, saying yes. But with what I went through and the wear and tear, for what they're going to ask me from just looking at my height, judging me from my head to my toes as this physical specimen, it's not going to happen. You know, but can I be productive? Probably so. On the bench, you know, and that swing guy, 3, 4, as much as 12 plays, but 5 plays, guaranteed, everything else, shush, you better find somebody else on Tuesday.
Any coaching in your future for any chance? Is that something you're even remotely interested in?
I have a few things going on. I would like to do coaching, but I would like to do it my way. You know, no different than what a lot of head coaches want to do when they come up on the upper echelon of things.
Right. All right, so just a couple minutes left. I'm going to try this one more time. I hope you don't beat my ass for asking this again.
You know what? You got issues.
When you come,
you got issues.
When you come out of college, and now you're on an NFL training camp before a season starts, what was the main thing you noticed right off the bat? What's the big difference? I'm in the NFL now. This is a lot different than college. Why?
The game is faster.
Everybody's faster.
The game is faster.
Which means you get hit harder. It means you hit harder. And that's really, you make it seem so simple.
I don't make it seem simple. I was just there. You know, I've seen a lot of players make business decisions. And some superstars with the Dolphins make business decisions. Sad, because these fans deserve so much more. I believed in this team. Hell, if I'm not mistaken, I built it. But not with my mouth, with my action on the field. I went through a transition. I wasn't the best. But when I came into my own, please, line me up against anyone. It's over. Done. But Dolph fans, and I interacted with a lot of them. If you want to do something, all you Dolph fans out there that know Darryl Gard has ever met me anywhere at the spot or wherever, come out, get on this show, and voice your opinion. And they'll tell you, they said, look, Darryl kept it real when it came to that. But what the athletes did and what they pulled, business decisions. First of all, this is a game that's going to make your life better.
Right.
But you're going to have to make their life better.
Right.
And I'm referring to managers, owners, whatever. Okay? That's what bothered me. The business decisions bothered me. Okay? And it is no reason for it. If you're here as a football player, be a damn football player. If you're not here as a football player, when it comes out in the wash, we'll figure it out.
Now, but you I don't mean to call you out on this, but you
call me out.
You saw
call me out. Mentioned call
earlier,
me out. Call me out.
You mentioned earlier in this interview that you got to take the NFL for what it's worth and what it's given you. Take the money, do what you got. And in essence, you said to be a businessman, but you're saying the best way to be a businessman in the NFL is to show it on the field.
Look here.
I'm trying to.
Look here. How much does the owners get paid off of each team? Are you serious?
An amount of money I can't even comprehend.
The grievance is what? The grievance is what? About money? First of all, I don't ever remember owner coming down playing in the trenches ever.
Right.
But yeah, they're great businessmen. What does an athlete have to become? His product is him.
Exactly.
He better be a businessman.
And your product is you on the field, right? Is that your point? That's your point. Make your product what you are on the field.
You know what? I'm going to give you a blessing. You like to be heard, don't you?
Yeah.
I spoke English. What did you want to clear up for your audience?
I'm just making sure that I heard it correctly. That's all.
Well, tell me about you.
What do you mean, tell me about you?
Tell me about you.
I've been a broadcaster for 25 years.
You ever played sports?
I played hockey.
Which
my
one?
Whole life. Hockey. Ice
really?
Hockey. Yeah.
You make a lot of money?
Lace them up, brother. Let's go.
You make a lot of money?
No, never made money playing hockey.
And the funny part about it is what?
That's not, I don't think it's funny.
I do. It's hilarious.
All right, where are you going with this?
Oh, don't worry about it.
I love this.
I'm way ahead of you.
Okay.
Answer the question.
I never made no money playing hockey, if that's what you're asking me.
Why is that?
Because I never...
People that can't play sport, broadcast.
And that's the end of this interview right
here. I love you, Dolphins for life. If you are a Dolphin or a Canes fan, you are everything.
Those that don't play sports, interview. I got it. Okay, Daryl, I see where I stand with you.
It's all good. No pun intended, brother.
People that want to get in touch and help out your foundation, you got a website that they can go to?
You know what? Here's one better. Go to my Facebook.
Okay.
Daryl Gardner. Pull up my number. Give me a holler. There's numbers there. Contact me personally. It's all about the kids, but with this interview, it's all about football and a little bit of sprinkling or some praline. What is praline?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's like a hint of something.
And you pretty much threw some of my shit back in my face.
You know what?
Did.
If I throw something back in your face, you're going to know about it. You're sitting over here nervous. You're on your back of your seat drinking a drink. Are you serious? I got you, though. It's all gravy.
Daryl Gardner, you're the man, man. I really appreciate it.
You know what? I was the man, but right now I'm more interested in whether these Dolphins can go ahead and get behind them 100% and pack that stadium out every damn game and the media back down. Because if you notice something with the Dolphins, why is the media hating so bad on the hometown team? But if you go to other states, when they lose, they not hating. You know, Joe Rose, are you serious?
I know.
Are you serious?
I,
why are you hating on? Why are you hating on the hometown team?
It's so glad. I'm so happy to hear you say this.
This is Dan Marino's land.
Right.
And if you want to sit here and talk about X's and O's all day long, brother, I may not be that guy, but you won't put me on blast street because I'm gonna take your microphone and interview you. Why do you not love that team? And wait a minute. If I'm not mistaken,
thin is what you're saying, man.
You know, if I'm not mistaken. Dolphins were undefeated at one time, right?
No doubt.
Won a championship?
Yeah.
72?
I think it was before you were born, wasn't it?
You know what? Hey, knock that. 73 was a good year. 72, you know, 73, back again, whatever.
You know, great.
The Dolphins will do what they're going to do. But my personal opinion, I need the tuner to come out of there. I need the tuner to come down to the field. I need the tuner to get in them throats. Just like he had Leonard Marshall, and just like he had LT. That team was something special.
Yeah.
We can be that.
That's,
the Dolphins need it. They got to have it.
I haven't heard that yet, but I think it's a brilliant idea.
You
man.
Know what? So, if it's brilliant, it's brilliant.
Bill Parcells?
It's brilliant, it's brilliant.
If you're listening, you need to get back out on that field.
Look, I'm going to say it the way it is. Bill Parcells, I need you on that field. I know you're a general manager. Get paid double.
Yeah.
He knows he has an eye for talent. Look at their cap. They're up there.
Yeah.
They saving money, making money. Bill, I need you back out there. Get these players right.
That's fascinating, man.
Get these players right.
I don't know if you'll find a bigger former Dolphin player that's as big a fan as you are, Darrell Anderson.
I am a fan, will always be a fan. This was the place that birthed me, but this is the place that does not define me.
Right.
And when it went down, I did something else.
Yeah.
Holla.
And more importantly, just a great charitable person doing a great lot of work for kids, helping out a lot of people. Go friend Darrell on Facebook. And, man, you're the biggest dude that's ever been on my show so far, and you're the biggest sports star that's been on my show so far. So I really appreciate you taking things to the next level for me, brother.
You know what? We'll take it to the next level. But to my fans, this is all about marketing. It has nothing to do with me. It has something to do with his show. So y'all do what it do. This will not be recorded, but I'm just saying what I got to say. I'm just saying. Holla.
And there you have it. Darrell Gardner ending that interview off with a bang there as we interviewed him. He was kind enough to join us on the show and give us some of his time during the festivities at the Newport Beachside. By the way, if you want to get involved in Darrell's foundation, there's a great dinner there tonight. That is, if you're listening on the day of the broadcast, which is July 19th, Monday night. There's a dinner there at Kitchen 305. That's the restaurant inside the Newport Beachside. And you can bid on some auction items, great sports paraphernalia, and a whole lot more. Meet Darrell and help out the cause for the Darrell Gardner Foundation. More guests from that fantastic event over the weekend that we taped that we'll bring you tomorrow and the next day. Tomorrow it'll be Stephen Burkett, who's got some interesting sports software to talk about. That's tomorrow right here on the Bill Murphy Show.
Log on each weekday for another edition of the Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's MURPH@BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.